precious fountain that saves from sin. I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was fountain so rich and sweet, cast the poor soul at the Savior's feet, plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name, glory to his name, glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied.
So our scripture today is Hebrews. It's chapter 1. It's verses 1 through 4 and then continuing 5 through 12. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by his word of power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of his majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not see everything in subjection to him. But we see him for a little while. He was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and all whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sacrifices and those who are sacrificed all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praises. So I called this reaching out for our potential, that becoming the best people that we could be, and how it takes us to do that, how we can gain on that. And so when they start this scripture, what he's trying to explain to you is that Israel, for hundreds and thousands of years, had had prophets. And they would talk about what God was going to do and what God was going to happen and what we needed to do to follow. And some of them were correcting if people weren't doing what they were supposed to do, if you read Amos and some of those. But what he's saying here is they didn't really give you the whole story. It wasn't the Paul Harvey, this is the rest of the story. They only gave you parts because they didn't know the whole story. And so those prophets used different words. They would sometimes speak to you. If you go back to Esther, when Mordecai's trying to tell everybody what they're doing, what they're going to do to the Jews is wrong, he ends up putting on sackcloth, with just sort of like a potato sack is the best way I could describe to you. And he puts ashes all over so everybody knows he's mourning. And so sometimes it was verbiage, and sometimes it was the actions and the way they dressed, the way they would cry, the way they would act, so that people would listen to them. And most of the time they were wanting to change what you were doing, to become better person or a better country, to do what God wanted you to do. So the prophets had a close relationship with God, but they weren't like Jesus Christ, where they were the Son of God. So I would say they knew some things, but they didn't know everything. So this part of scripture that we're reading here, if you go back and read Psalm 8, you'll see a lot of the same words. And what he's telling us in Hebrews is that men and women, be everybody here today, we have this ability to control many things on the planet. that God has given us. The question is, do we do it in the right way or do we do it in the wrong way? How do we choose to do that? And what he's suggesting is when things don't work out the way they're supposed to. So if you look at some of the prayer requests today for the violence that we see around, for we worry about our country, those kind of things, it's because we let our temptations or our weaknesses get in the way of what God wants us to do. That instead of following God, we follow either somebody else or we follow ourselves and we're not listening to God's voice. Jesus came, God sent Jesus to this earth, and he died for all the things that we do wrong. I don't know about you guys, but so far today I've been pretty good, but I haven't dealt with very many people directly. But before the day's over, I'll probably do something I wish I could take back. I just can't help myself sometimes. I think I was doing the right thing, and all of a sudden, we were talking last week on Flip Wilson, where he said the devil made me do it. Where all of a sudden, I'll be catching myself doing something I wish I wasn't doing. And I have to stop myself. But Jesus came for all of us to get us out of that pattern of sin and harming each other. And so sometimes you'll have people say, well, I can't really be religious because I don't want to be confined. I don't want to not be able to do whatever I want. Well, I would tell you it's the opposite of that. That once we're free from the sins, whatever our sins are, it frees us to become greater and better people. It allows us to do so many more things where we're not burdened with things that we worry about. So on here again, he's talking about men and women, and he wants to make sure that you're clear that men and women are not equal with God, even though he talks about this dominion. And the sins that we do cause us to be in a defeated state. So whether that's personally, or whether it's a country, or a state, or a county, or a government, those things that we do that God would not care for, allow that gloom and despair to come over us. So how many of you ever been to a revival? Ever? Okay. Was it pretty exciting? Were you all charged up when you left? That's what God can do to us each and every day. We don't have to be in this defeated state. And so with us being able to go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness for those things that we've done to harm people, to harm ourselves, it allows us to live a life that God wants us to live, to become what God has always wanted us to do. And so all of us have that option to do that. And so I've kind of broke these down. If you take all that stuff, it comes down to three things. What should we be? So when we run into people, do we open them? Do we come with them with open arms and grateful? How many of you ever been? Okay, so I think you guys have figured out I'm a little ornery sometimes, okay? When I was younger, and when they had stores that people went and shopped at, remember the old days? You could walk down the store, especially at Christmas time when it was really crowded, and just look at somebody and say hi to them. You didn't have to know them. And you knew it so confused them because they didn't have a clue who you were, but you didn't know them. You just said hi. How many times when you walk in a place now, people don't even look, they're just kind of walking down. I always think it's so much fun to just say hi to people, just to strike up a conversation with them. How are you doing today? How are you today? Because it only takes a minute. And a lot of times it's people that are just lonely. One of the downsides, I think, of the time that we live in now, we were leaving the football game yesterday. There were four kids walking together outside. All four of them were on their phone talking to four different people about all of them going to the same place. Now, how does that make any sense? They apparently don't know you could text 10 people at one time, right? Even I knew that. But we don't have that closeness. We don't communicate. We don't talk. We don't care for people a lot of times. And if we don't reach out to them, there's no way for that to happen. And so what I would ask everybody to do, I've got homework this week, okay? What I'd ask everybody to do this week, when you're out someplace, wherever that is, just say hi to somebody and strike up a conversation. If you find that you guys are really opposed to something, go to a different subject, okay? But just let God work through you to allow us to be as warm, as opening as we can be to other people. Because a lot of people just are lonely. You look at them walking by and you think, gosh, that guy looks so grumpy, or he looks so sad. They're just lonely. Have you ever gone to a nursing home and been walking through and somebody goes, hey, come here? And if you go in, you're going to be there for a while, because what they're really saying is nobody's been here for a while, or at least they don't remember it, and they want to talk to somebody. And if you came in the room, you're the somebody. So you have to be willing to be patient and let them talk to you. But let God make you what God wants you to be. Now, that kind of the opposite of that is, what is? So where are you at personally? And so what I'd say to you today is, when we have communion, this is a time that if you've got anything in your life that's burdening you, for the English teachers, I think that's a word, it's causing you not to be who you need to be, this is a perfect time to ask God's forgiveness for it. Now, it doesn't have to be just once a month when we do communion. It can be any time, any place, anywhere. Some people make up a prayer closet. You can have a prayer couch. You can have a prayer love seat. It doesn't matter. You can go to the Lord anytime and ask for forgiveness. And get that out of your life to make you be able to go forward. And so if we take what God wants us to be, and we've got things in our lives that are keeping us from being there, and we go to the Lord and say, hey, I don't want this to burden me anymore. I'm going to not hold it in here for me. I'm going to give it up to you. Then what that allows us to do is become the people that God wants us to be. To become perfect people. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to be perfect all the time, but it means that we are working towards becoming that close to Jesus Christ as we can each and every day. If we've got burdens, whatever they are, and they are keeping us from that, then you got to get rid of them and move on from them. And it doesn't matter whether you're 21, whether you're tall, whether you're short, whether you're 90, whether you're 11, 8, 7, whatever we got over here, 11. It doesn't matter. Whatever that burden is, give it up to the Lord and begin that time of living the life that God wants us to lead. So, homework is what? Speak to someone this week. Kindly speak to someone this week. Okay? No yelling. Kindly speak to someone this week and strike up a conversation with somebody you don't know. When TJ talked about all the people at the volunteer fire department, I think that you guys have figured out that pretty much every week I am asking you to share your faith with somebody else. Is that pretty clear that that's my theme? It's hard to share with somebody you don't know. In fact, it's almost impossible because most people won't listen to you. But if you begin a relationship with them, and a relationship's just talking, then as they get to know you and you get to know them, you can find out where they're at in their life. Because it could be that they had a relationship with the Lord and something happened and they fell away, or they've never had. So you can't just begin by saying, hey, let me tell you about God and what he did in my life, because maybe they had a relationship and it didn't work out so well for them. So when I talked about listening a couple weeks ago, part of that conversation is you got to be willing to listen. And sometimes that's hard for us. But with God, anything is possible. And again, as we start the communion, if you wish to unburden yourself, this is a perfect place to do it. So I'm going to use a different... So this is World Communion Sunday. And the idea is twofold, I would say. One is that we're trying to remember that we are not the only Christian congregation in the world. I think we all know that. There's at least two more in town, right? Okay. But what we're trying to remind ourselves is there are Christians all over the world. Some do not share the freedoms that we have. Some do not believe exactly as we believe. But what we all have in common is we believe that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, on this world to make the world a better place, and we are supposed to share that with all the brothers and sisters that we can come in contact with. I would say that's really what the idea of World Communion Sunday is, to remind us that we're not just this church, we are part of God's plan for the whole world. And so as we go through communion, there are parts that you're supposed to read on the screen. It's similar to what I've used in the past, except when we get towards the end and we talk really about the World Communion Sunday. So if you would join me, please. The Lord be with you, and the people said,
and also with you.
Lift up your hearts, and the people said,
we lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God, and the people said,
holy.
Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and spirit. He commissioned us to be his witness to the ends of the earth and to make disciples of all nations. And today his family and all the world is joining at his holy table. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of my new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. And the people said, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the whole world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with your church throughout your world and strengthen it in every nation and among every people to witness faithfully in your name. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And the people said, amen. So in the United Methodist Church, we believe in an open communion, which means anyone is available to participate. You do not have to be a member of the church. This could be your first time, your 1,000th time. It's not important. If you're not able to come forward, Jeremy and I would be glad to take the communion elements to you. If you would like to come forward, please. Thank you. Let us pray. Father, be with us all as we go out into your world. Let us share the love that you give us each and every day. And if any of us have anything that's burdening in their soul, let us give it up to you to allow us to go on to live the life that you wish us to live. Amen.